What does it mean when a major U.S. pharma company signs a manufacturing deal that lasts for the next 10 years? It's not just about locking in a price, it's a strategic move in a high-stakes game of global supply chain security. This week, we saw a major deal that signals a long-term shift, and it's one that every executive in the biopharma space needs to understand. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. This week, we're diving deep into the bioprocessing sector. We're seeing an equipment arms race between two European giants. We have strong financial signals that the biotech market is recovering, and we're tracking major strategic moves in the global contract manufacturing landscape. The competition between U.S., European, and Chinese players is intensifying, and the decisions companies make today on partnerships and platforms will define their competitive position for the next decade.
Let's start with the hardware, Troy. This week felt like a flurry of new product announcements. On May 19th, Eppendorf launched its BioFlow 120, and just 2 days later, on May 21st, Sartorius unveiled an upgraded Biostat STR family. Are these companies just going head-to-head?
They are, but they're targeting slightly different needs, which is critical for manufacturers to understand. Eppendorf's BioFlow 120 is a compact, versatile benchtop system. It's designed for flexibility, handling both microbial and cell cultures, from 0.5-liter research volumes up to small-scale production, and it works with both traditional autoclavable glass and single-use bioreactors.
So it's a jack-of-all-trades for the lab?
Precisely. It's for the R&D phase, where you're testing many different things. Sartorius, on the other hand, is focused on the streamlined path to commercialization with its Biostat STR. It's a fully single-use platform that scales from 12.5 liters all the way up to 2,000 liters. Their key value proposition, backed by their new FlexSafe STR bags, is linear scalability. The process you develop at a small scale can be transferred to commercial manufacturing in a matter of weeks.
Okay, so how does a U.S. or European manufacturer choose? What's the strategic decision here?
It's about your pipeline and production strategy. If you're an early-stage biotech with diverse projects, the flexibility of Eppendorf's BioFlow 120 is very attractive. But for a larger biopharma company with a clear lead candidate, the Sartorius Biostat STR system offers a faster, more predictable, and validated path to market. It reduces scale-up risk significantly.
And what about trading companies that distribute this kind of equipment?
They need to understand they aren't just selling a box. They're selling a long-term manufacturing philosophy. For Sartorius, the sale is about the entire ecosystem, the hardware, software, and the recurring revenue from the single-use FlexSafe bags. For Eppendorf, it's about being the go-to platform for early-stage innovation. Distributors need to segment their customers based on their position in the drug development lifecycle.
So the actionable insight for executives?
Evaluate your 5-year R&D and manufacturing roadmap. Your choice of bioreactor platform today dictates your scalability, speed, and cost structure tomorrow. This isn't just a lab equipment purchase. It's a foundational strategic commitment.
All this new equipment is great, Troy, but are companies actually spending money? This week, we got some powerful market signals from two of the biggest European players. On May 18th, Sartorius reported strong Q1 results.
They did. Their Bioprocess Solutions division drove a 7.5% revenue growth on a constant currency basis. Crucially, they reaffirmed their full-year guidance, stating they expect an improved funding environment and increased demand in the second half of 2026. This is a very strong bullish indicator for the entire sector.
And it wasn't just Sartorius. Lonza also came out with strong Q1 results on May 15th, but their story had a strategic twist. They've completed a major transition.
That's right. Lonza finalized the divestment of its capsules and health ingredients division. They are now what the market calls a pure-play contract development and manufacturing organization, or CDMO. They are focusing all their energy and capital, including the proceeds from that sale, on their core business of manufacturing complex biologicals for other pharma companies. Like Sartorius, they reaffirmed their 2026 growth outlook.
So what does this mean for U.S. and European manufacturers who rely on these companies?
It means two things. First, the recovery is real. The capital investment freeze in biotech is thawing. Manufacturers should anticipate longer lead times for equipment and raw materials as demand picks up. It's a signal to lock in supply for the second half of this year now. Second, Lonza's move shows a trend towards hyper-specialization. As a pure-play CDMO, they are positioning themselves as the absolute expert in biomanufacturing services.
and for trading companies and distributors in this space.
Your customers are about to get a lot more confident with their spending. This is the time to be proactive, to reach out and help them with capacity planning for the next 12 to 18 months. The positive guidance from both Sartorius and Lonza gives you a strong justification to start those conversations.
Actionable insight for our listeners?
Review your 2026 and 2027 supply chain needs immediately. The market is tightening. If you have critical projects scaling up, engage with your key suppliers like Sartorius and CDMOs like Lonza now to reserve capacity and secure pricing before the H2 demand surge fully materializes.
This brings us to our final and biggest theme this week, the global chessboard of contract manufacturing. The market recovery we just discussed is making the competition fiercer. On May 20th, we saw China's Wuxi Biologics make a major push in Japan.
Yes, they hosted their third CRDMO day in Tokyo, drawing around 200 leaders from Japan's biopharma industry. They are aggressively marketing their integrated model, which they call CRDMO, Contract Research Development and Manufacturing Organization. It's an end-to-end service, from initial drug discovery all the way to commercial production. A recent China Talk analysis highlights how this integrated model, backed by significant Chinese government support, has made Wuxi an indispensable partner in the global ecosystem.
An indispensable Chinese partner. That phrase carries a lot of weight in Washington and Brussels right now. So while Wuxi is expanding its influence, we saw a massive countermove from a Western player, didn't we?
A very significant one. On May 15th, U.S.-based Regeneron signed a 10-year manufacturing agreement with Fujifilm Diosynth Biotechnologies. This is a landmark deal. Regeneron is securing large-scale, long-term production for its key biologic drugs at Fujifilm sites, including their major facility in North Carolina.
10 years is an incredibly long time in this industry. What does that signal to other U.S. and European manufacturers?
It signals a strategic shift from cost-based vendor selection to long-term supply chain security. By locking in a decade of capacity with a trusted partner in a Western country, Regeneron is de-risking its supply chain from potential geopolitical volatility and over-reliance on a single region, particularly China. This is a move other major Western pharma companies are watching very closely.
So for trading companies or smaller firms that partner with these giants?
They need to understand the new emphasis on supply chain resilience. If your business depends on these large manufacturers, your own geographic and political risk profile is now under scrutiny. Aligning with partners who have a strong North American or European manufacturing footprint, like Fujifilm does, has become a significant competitive advantage.
And the final actionable insight for executives this week?
You must conduct a formal geopolitical risk assessment of your critical supply chain. Don't just look at your direct suppliers, look at their suppliers. The Wuxi model is powerful and efficient, but the Regeneron-Fujifilm deal shows that industry leaders are now willing to pay a premium for long-term, onshore, or friendshore stability. You need to decide where your company falls on that risk versus resilience spectrum. So, summarizing the intelligence from this week, there are three key takeaways for executives. First, in bioprocessing equipment, the choice between flexibility and scalability is becoming sharper. The new platforms from Eppendorf and Sartorius force you to be very clear about your development and commercialization strategy before you invest. Second, the market is turning. Strong Q1 results from European bellwethers Sartorius and Lonza confirm a recovery in biotech spending. Western companies must act now to secure materials and manufacturing slots for the coming 18 months. And third, the global manufacturing landscape is fracturing along geopolitical lines. The rise of China's integrated CRDMO model, exemplified by Wuxi, is being countered by long-term, security-focused partnerships in the West, like the 10-year Regeneron-Fujifilm deal. Every company needs a clear strategy for supply chain resilience.
A complex week with clear strategic implications. That's all the time we have. Thank you for joining us on Troy Technical Intelligence.
We'll be back next week with another briefing to help you navigate the intersection of technology and strategy.
Make sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss it. Until then, have a productive and strategic week.